there will be enormous consequences if he were to go in and invade, as he could, the entire country, or a lot less than that as well, for Russia, not only in terms of economic consequences and political consequences, but there'll be enormous consequences worldwide. This would be the largest, if he were to move in with all those forces, would be the largest invasion since World War II. It would change.
Except it's not actually gonna happen. Like, this is just ridiculous. Golly, I hate playing this stupid damn game every single day with this completely feeble, weak-ass man. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here. It's the radio program. If you're watching the simulcast, that's the simulcast of the radio program. So I had someone's like, why did you do XYZ? Because it's a radio show. That's why. So I sent some stuff out earlier this morning in the prep email, so you can follow that if you'd like. And because we had some of the stuff we're going to hit on today. So we'll get to some of the Supreme Court justice stuff as well, because I know there's breaking news. It's going to be a big slap fight. I've stopped caring about all politics, including right and left, and I hate everyone equally. How about that? It's a burning dumpster fire, and I say this without a trace of facetiousness, without a trace of any kind of sarcasm. I seriously wish that this planet would get obliterated by a giant asteroid. And I say that I mean it most sincerely. All right, so everybody get to know Jesus, because hell's hot. So this, all the latest with this, we're going to talk also about term limits, and because we're doing history lessons, and the reason we're talking about term limits is because Nancy Pelosi, who was elected first in 1987, I was in fourth grade, she is running again. Are we all excited? Are you guys so excited? She's running again. I've never seen it. You know why she's even a contender is because she can raise money like better than none of the other Democrats can. She raises money really well. That's why, by the way, if you've ever wondered why some of these people stay in their seats for as long as they do, it's because they raise money. That's why they raise money. So we're going to talk about that as well, because I don't believe in term limits and I agree with the founders. I'm sorry, but if you believe in term limits, the founders disagree with you. And I'm going to explain that in serious depth. I forgot my book. I need to bring my book in here. The Federalist Papers, because if you don't have a copy of it, why are we talking about this? I do. And I'm going to read it to you, especially this part about term limits. So as a couple of other things, first off, what did we just hit? Like Breyer's retiring? Mm-hmm. Justice Breyer has announced his retirement conveniently ahead of midterms. So, that's going to be an absolute slap fight. Absolute slap fight. So this is just, I mean, literally as I'm like, you hear me like pulling up some of my things about this, because this just hit while, I was coming in to do the show. And so, he's retiring. He's kind of like the more class, he's a liberal. But he's more of a classical liberal, sort of, on some things. So Biden's going to get to nominate a replacement. He's retiring here, of course, before midterms. NBC reported Biden's going to have the crucial opportunity, blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares. He's retiring. It's going to be a giant fight. I'm going to tell you this, too. There are a lot of people who don't understand Senate procedure. And I see a lot of this too. I've seen a lot of it, especially on the Republican side. I have a history of complaining about and criticizing Mitch McConnell longer than the Republican credentials of some of these candidates that are running Missouri. And they use McConnell like this boogeyman. What did I tell everybody after midterms under Trump? You guys remember what I said after 2018? I had said that he's going to have a judicial agenda, and his judicial agenda is going to depend upon the Senate. Specifically, it's going to depend upon Mitch McConnell. And Mitch McConnell is a parliamentarian. The reason that we have the conservative Supreme Court that we do, love him or hate him, is because of Mitch McConnell. The reason that we have one out of every three federal judges, the reason that we have this is because of Mitch McConnell. You can hate him. You can love him. We don't agree with him on everything. But Republicans would be DOA if we did not have him guiding the Senate and his understanding of parliamentary procedure. Republicans would be bent over a barrel. And Chuck Schumer would be the gimp, like Pulp Fiction. That's what would be happening. I hope that paints a picture, because I mean for it to. I'd go further, but we have FCC restrictions. So does everybody understand, like, the seriousness of this now? We need to understand strategy. This is one of the reasons why I hate politics. And, oh, my gosh, I hate politics. I'm in the industry. I'm in the industry. It's crazy. I hate it with the burning passion of a thousand suns, because everything is so damn tribal and so stupid. And, oh, my gosh, Smod, where are you? So we're going to see the left say, oh, my God, we're going to see all those stupid arguments all trotted out again. All of it. We're going to see all of that trotted out again. It's going to be, people are, what is the thing that they, oh, like, women are going to be disenfranchised. They'll be blessed, something I don't even know. Here's the thing. Even if they get a liberal, it's not going to change the conservative majority of the court. So just know that the big battle was won. Man, I'm seeing this now spread all over Twitter. It's amazing to watch fire spread, isn't it? Woo! All right, a couple of other things. Three of Biden's team that's negotiating with Iran on the nuclear deal resigned because the United States isn't being tough enough. Diplomats say talks are entering a critical phase. And of course they are. So some of they're saying you're not being tough enough. You're destabilizing everything. And then we went from the Abraham Accords to now everything's destabilized because Iran knows they can act shady again. They can act shady because there's no accountability. There's no accountability, and there's no line. I tell you. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as well, because now Putin here's this headline. Putin forces president to ready 8,500 troops to protect Ukraine. Oh, boy. Now, they said yesterday, and I wrote something on this in the newsletter, and I hope that you, this is something we really need to pay attention to. And I disagree with some of the people who say, oh, no, he's not talking about sending actual troops in. I completely disagree. This is why I played that Psaki soundbite yesterday a couple of times and said, look, not her saying not sending American troops and then explaining how the NATO construct is different is cagey. And the remark from Biden, him saying there's not going to be any American forces moving into Ukraine, I think that that's also because they're saying we're not going to move our troops. They didn't say we're not going to move our troops. We're not going to. They're using specific. They're trying to dodge the NATO construct. So they're leaving themselves enough wiggle room. That statement and others like it that have been uttered by this administration, it's all designed to let Putin know that Biden hasn't taken ground forces off the table. And whether or not you agree with that or disagree with that is a completely separate issue from this issue that we're talking about. And he is also trying to protect his own backside with his supporters and critics alike on the issue of committing to war. Now, there may very well be ground forces committed through NATO because there's enough of a gap in their language to allow this. I mean, remember, George W. Bush, everybody thought he was dumb, right? They made fun of it, and they wanted to act like everybody thought he was dumb, and you know, he doesn't. They portrayed him as having buck teeth, and he's so stupid. Da, 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 da. He actually benefited from that because he's not dumb. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan, but he's not dumb. Biden benefits because everybody thinks he's a weak old grandpa character, and that's why that Ducey hot mic moment wasn't as significant as it was, because he is the same mean guy, Biden. He's the same mean guy that accused Clarence Thomas of being racist during Clarence Thomas's confirmation hearings to Supreme Court. So it's just something else. Now, also, while we're looking at everything happening with Ukraine, SCOTUS, Emmanuel Macron and Putin had a call. They're also, while all this is happening, there's a race to beat China to recover this $100 million F-35 stealth fighter from the bottom of the South China Sea because it crash landed on USS Carl Vinson. Man, that ship is having some problems, is it not? And that's the same ship where they had a fire and all this stuff? I mean, Jiminy Christmas. They're afraid that this most advanced jet tech could fall into enemy hands. Maybe military leaders like, I don't know, Miley and others we hear so much about white rage and political correctness and vaccination. Maybe we could just, you know, get some of the basics right. The best do the basics better. While all of this is happening, while everything is happening with Ukraine, apparently Puerto Rico feels completely alienated by Joe Biden. Their leadership is, they were already mad because they're like, look, you're, Democrats promise Puerto Rican leadership certain things. And then as soon as they get support from their leaders and they try to use that to play with the Hispanic community, particularly in Florida, then they turn around every damn time. They turn around and don't do anything. They leave them hanging every single time. So that's exactly what's happened here. Meanwhile, Biden's out getting ice cream. Jenny's ice cream. Everyone's like, oh, it's a small business of the most expensive ice cream known to man. That doesn't excuse the, it being a small business doesn't change the fact that, how much is one of them things? Hang on. Hang on. We're going to look this up. We did this with Pelosi, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Hold up. Let's look. Let's look. Oh my gosh. What is one of the first things that comes up when you Google it? They ask, why is Jenny's ice cream so expensive? It's based in Ohio. And this is what Biden did yesterday. This is what Biden did yesterday. He went and he got this ice cream. Here, I'm looking at prices right now. So, holy wow. You guys. Like, so one. Six. So if you, let's see, there's different prices for different things. Basically, one 16 ounce thing is $9. No tax, without tax. $8.99 without tax. 16 ounces. You can get the Happy Birthday Collection from Johnny's Ice Cream, and it's $70 for one, two, three, four, five. Five. Oh, only five? Wait, what? Oh, yeah, you can get different collections. You get five of them, and then you get, like, a little topping thing, and that's, like, $70. Oh, my gosh. So, basically, it's, like, you know, it's, yeah, it's $9 for one of the little pints of them. 16 ounces. $9. Dude, you know how much Bluebell you could get with that? That's something else. So, that's what he did yesterday. He did that. By the way, the Talenti is way better, and it's half the price. If you want to get bougie ice cream, get you the Talenti. And a lot of their stuff is dairy-free. If you're lactose intolerant, it's dairy-free. Get yourself the Talenti. It's half the price if you want bougie ice cream. Or you just make it yourself and be bougie. Just, you know, do that. Or you can eat Bluebell. Put it in a fancy bowl and be bougie. There it is. Woo, boy. All right. So, lots of stuff that we have to unpack today. Because that's not even the top of what I have for you. I have virus news, wokery stuff. Jamie Oliver hired some like psychologist to make sure his cookbook wasn't about cultural appropriation. I can't even put the stupidity into words. Peter Dinklage and Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. We've got all of it. Gluten-free radio, ladies and gentlemen. I want to take a quick moment and thank my friends at Patriot Mobile for their support. Whether it's this show, CPAC, or the March for Life, these folks are always there supporting all of it because they are fully in the trenches with you. And that's why I'm proud to partner with Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider, and I would like for you to do that as well. They offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as the major carriers, so you get the same great nationwide coverage, plus you get the peace of mind that your money isn't supporting the left. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations fighting for religious freedom, constitutional rights, sanctity of life, and our veteran and first responder heroes. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation with offer code Dana. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Support a company that loves America, loves you, and shares your values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so first up, in today's obvious news, adults are told that 10 minutes of exercise a day could save your life if you're over 40. Really? We can't, though. They closed all the gyms. They can't. Just saying. Also, I guess seriously, according to a Rasmussen poll, should U.S. troops defend Ukraine? 31% who are ridiculous say yes. 36% who know better say no, and 33% Whiskey Tango Foxtrot say not sure. I hate Rasmussen. This is why Ballroom Blitz was written. This is a headline. 19 people die in an Indonesian nightclub due to a massive fire and a brawl that included machetes and arrows. Dude, 18, at least they said 18. It was a nightclub in Indonesia. It was a fatal brawl between rival groups wielding machetes and arrows. Someone not killed in the fire was eventually stabbed to death during the brawl at around 11 p.m., according to BBC. It happened between unrelated separatist movements in the Indonesian province. And they said it's normal, but, you know, it's caused a lot of deaths. That's the craziest Jiminy Christmas. Now, this happened back in 2020, but it's being reported now. How a Russian submarine hit a Royal Navy ship. Did you guys hear about this? No, you didn't, because nobody talks about it. It hit a Royal Navy ship, and they've been trying to... I'm not going to accept cookies on my thing, so I'm not going to read the rest of this headline. Seriously, I hate everything. Hate everything! They say that it occurred in late 2020. It was captured by a documentary film crew that was watching it. It was called Warship Life at Sea, and then they accidentally caught this thing. It was HMS Northumberland. It was on patrol in the North Atlantic. It was tracking this Russian sub, and they actually collided. So it was very, very quiet. Everybody kept everything quiet. And, you know, they said that, you know, the Royal Navy regularly tracks these ships. The ship, though, did have to return to port in Scotland because they had to replace some damaged equipment. So very interesting. Also, a Texas woman, 49. I get it that Walmart has a lot of things, but you can't buy babies there. Rebecca Lynette Taylor. What a name. She tried. It was in Crockett, Texas. She tried to buy a stranger's baby for $500,000. And she waited for the mother in the parking lot. She was like, if $250 isn't enough, I'll pay $500,000. They totally arrested her because you can't try to like kidnap somebody's baby and force money on the parent. Stick with us. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Our democracy is at risk because of assaults on the truth, the assault on the U.S. Capitol, and the state-by-state assault on voting rights. This election is crucial. Nothing less is at stake than our democracy. But as we say, we don't agonize, we organize. And that is why I am running for re-election to Congress and respectfully seek your support.
Oh, boy.
I'd be greatly honored by it.
Oh, boy.
And grateful
are you
for it.
Greatly
thank
honored
you so
by
much.
It. That's Nancy Pelosi announcing her intent to run again. She's been... 87 was when she was first elected in a special election, and she's had a couple of different districts because of redistricting, but she's been in Congress since 1987. I was in fourth grade in 1987, and my school picture at the time was when I stupidly thought it would be kind of cool to get a haircut that I now know was a mullet. Welcome again. I'm Dana Lash telling you about my fourth grade mullet. And my mother hilariously allowed for it to happen. And I am in a Hawaiian shirt in front of a laser background with a mullet. God bless America. It was so 1987. So 1987. You will never see that photo. It will never hit the light of day. Dude, everything I had, like, my teeth were the size of Chex Mix. My front two teeth. It was everything awkward. Was in that photo. It was so bad. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. So, You know why she's running? And this makes sense now because we were like, why in the world is this chick running again? Because Breyer is going to retire. Ooh, that rhymed. And I'm a poet and didn't know it. He's retiring. And I have to note that 2022 is such a hot mess for Democrats. Now you have Democrat senators who just, first off, let me lay the stage for you. I'm getting more and more excited about this. And also congressional members, too, because there's a ton of, and as we get closer to the election, I am getting prepared to go through that at a mind-numbingly ridiculous detail with you. But especially the Senate. This, you had, obviously you had Manchin and Sinema, but you had a number of other senators who were less, who were a little more quiet. They were quieter about what they wanted to do, right? And you have Manchin and Sinema who were very vocal in bucking some of the party line for a couple of different things. Now you have Democrats who, you know, they're going to nominate a radical lefty nut job for a Supreme Court nominee. And all of these Democrats in these very vulnerable districts are going to have to walk the line for them. They're going to be on the, they're going to have to do it. Oh my gosh, what a nightmare for them. Oh my gosh, what? It's comical. It's absolutely comical. So just enjoy that for a moment. See, I'm giving you a bit of good news today. Just enjoy it. So Nancy Pelosi wants to run for office. Again, and I had a lot of people like, oh, this is what term limits are for. Now, bear with me, because I understand what you're saying. We agree on how, I mean, on, I think, almost everything. I don't agree on term limits, though. I never supported them. I have never, ever supported term limits. And I am not alone in my thoughts, by the way. The founders agreed. So if you do not have a copy of the Federalist Papers, that is, has a lot of notations through it, as mine is, you need it. Because it explains why the founders don't agree with the idea of term limits. And if the founders don't agree with it, I don't support it. I also don't support it because it doesn't make any sense. If you, first off, let me just address the big thing. Because everyone's like, oh, well, it's going to get rid of corruption and it's going to get rid. No, it's not. No, it's actually not. What you're going to do is make the corruption even more unaccountable. Because you're just moving the corruption from the people who are elected and actually held accountable by voters to what will become an even more entrenched class of bureaucrats and lobbyists. That's the first thing that you're going to do. And again, I'm not alone in this thought. So in looking at this, and whether it is, let me pull this up. So first off, Federalist 51. Again, you need to know all of this stuff, which is incredibly important. So let me just get into some of this. And I have like all kinds of notes here just to get bring you up to speed, because I know people are like, we need term limits. No, that's your responsibility as the voter. You are the term limit. The end. You're the term limit. I mean, that's what your vote is. And I don't understand why people want to give that up. So here's the thing. When in the Federalist Papers, which is all these essays that, as you know, were written by our founders, you have Madison, you have Hamilton, you have John Jay, and they wrote extensively on Congress. And they also addressed, because it's actually an anti-federalist position to be for term limits, and they addressed that anti-federalist position. And you can also get the anti-federalist papers, too, which I encourage you to do. They wanted to limit, their point was to limit congressional power through shortened term limits and all this other stuff. That's what the anti-federalists want. But in the Federalist Papers first, you have, well, I mean, it's Madison in 51. You have Hamilton in 53. In Federalist 53, Hamilton was talking about the issue of term limits as for congressional representatives. And he was... they were talking about when to hold elections, etc. And he's like, these are people who are masters of, you know, you're talking about people who are masters of public business. But he said, here's the problem, though. He said, you're going to have a high proportion of junior members that would, and he writes, quote, be more apt to fall into the snares that may be laid for them, and that the argument is no less applicable to the relation subsisting between the House of Representatives and the Senate. So it's actually a good thing to have people who know what they're doing in these positions, right? That's number one, especially if they can be held accountable to the people. That's number one. Imagine if you have a bunch of inexperienced freshmen and how easy it would be to influence them. They would be way more pliable, don't you think? I agree. Especially if people wanted to advance their special interests, they would find a way more pliable audience. The other thing, too, and this is something that Madison had touched on as well. Madison had touched on this in 51 and 52, in Federalist 52, and they also touched on it in Federalist 72, which was written by Hamilton. And one of the things that they had discussed when they were talking about the issue of longevity and term, Madison, because they were talking about this with the president, too, they were saying, look, longstanding membership does serve. It does help to stabilize government, but it's always held accountable to the voters. The voters always are the term limits for that. And Hamilton argued that having Congress in deep flux on a regular basis would result in this alteration, and it would actually be difficult to actually create and pass legislation. They argued about this extensively. I mean, I can't even tell you how many of these essays are about term limits. And they also discussed, too, what I was just telling you. You're going to further entrench people that voters don't get to cast a vote for. You know, the lobbyists and everything else. Here's the other thing. In 55, Hamilton was saying that frequent elections do help protect people from corruption in Congress. But he believed in the, quote, genius of the American people, and said it was strongly affirmed here that to be assured in no uncertain terms that that elected leaders would not either desire or dare to betray the solemn trust committed to them by the people. And if they did that, then the public, they had a right and a means to remove them from office through voting. Here's the problem. The problem isn't term limits. The problem is that Americans don't show up and vote. And so people who cannot be prevailed upon to exercise their civil, meaning it was created in court by men, their civil right to vote, as the remedy for not enough people turning up, they just want to go ahead and give that responsibility to the government. The term limits is the power to vote. That's it. Do you realize that by and large, the voter turnout rate for midterm elections has been traditionally under 40%? Mm-hmm. That's insane. It's absolutely insane. Gerrymandering is not, and that's a whole other discussion that we can have, but it's not enough of a argument to say that that hasn't something to do with it. Here's the thing, though. Originally, under the Articles of Confederation, term limits kept representatives to 3 years term in any 6-year period. But they abandoned that. And that was also touched on in the Federalist Papers, because the founders did not think that the forced rotation was useful. They understood and were not against the premise of it, but the purpose of it, they don't think was served. Jefferson had said, quote, I apprehend the total abandonment of the principle of rotation in the offices of president and senator will end in abuse. But my confidence is that there will be for a long time virtue and good sense in enough of our countrymen to correct abuses. That's the thing. Virtue and good sense. We've lost that a long time ago. And the remedy to that isn't to give more power to the government. That also played a role in us losing our virtue because we allowed for it to. You realize this is cyclical. The government is bad because it is a representation and a complete reflection of the people. We have to indict ourselves when we criticize the government. But too few people want to do that because they would love to have it to be entirely separate. It gives them a plausible deniability. They are victims. This was done to them when, in fact, you did it to yourself. James Madison wrote that term limits might actually lead to government dysfunction, and he wrote that frequent elections were a better check on power than forcing legislators out of office by law. And in Federalist 53, Madison wrote that the higher proportion, that's when he said, you're going to see poor decisions and also corruption from a wave of inexperienced legislators. And then to say nothing about the corruption that's going to be entrenched in all of this. See, if you have a government, because as it was written in 52 by Madison, it's essential to liberty that the government in general should have a common interest with the people. So it is particularly essential that they should have, you know, this immediate dependence on and sympathy with the people. By implementing term limits, you're removing the level of accountability that fuels that intimacy between the voter and the elected. I know better than the government, don't you? I believe you do. I would trust the worst amongst us before I would trust the government. That's saying a lot. So there's, I could actually stay on this issue. I know we're running out of time. I could stay on this issue for quite a long time because it's incredibly important that their duty, and specifically as it relates to Congress, their duty is supposed to be directly from the people. They are the representatives. They answer directly to the people. And Nancy Pelosi, people vote for. That's the problem. Do you think that implementing term limits is going to solve a problem like Pelosi? No, you'll probably get someone in there who is publicly worse. You're not going to magically get a Republican because you term limit out Pelosi. You're not going to magically get rid of a rhino just because you term limit out a rhino and make it to where they can't run for office anymore. That's simply a symptom of what's happening with the electorate. You have to get in there and do work with the electorate if you want to change the symptom. We have it backward. And I know this isn't like the funnest thing to talk about. And it's not the, because people don't like it, because they don't like feeling as though they're indicted, that they're somewhat responsible for it. But we all are. I mean, hell, some people elect Eric Swalwell, the dumbest man in government. Besides the guy who thought Guam was going to tip over. Hank, what's his face? Johnson. Thank you. This is our responsibility. And you cannot outsource it. Look, government is supposed to be a volunteer exercise. And that doesn't, it's not just a one-way street with the people in government. It's also with the people who power the government and give the government its authority through the consent of their vote. So I can't take the argument of term limits seriously when fewer than 40% of Americans even turn up to vote in midterm elections. Just, I can't. And I agree with Hamilton and Madison and Jefferson and John Jay. I agree with all of them that it is a bad remedy for a failing of the voter to do their job. We have a lot more on the way, including coming up this cultural appropriation with Jamie Oliver. I hate everything. You're going to hate everything, too, after I tell you this story. Also, Biden is withdrawing. He withdrew his COVID vaccine mandate for private employers after the Supreme Court killed it off. Duh. And I'm sure you heard now the Boston hospital that removed this dying father of two from the top of their heart transplant list because he's unvaccinated. Unbelievable. We're going to talk about all of this. We're also going to get into the very interesting story of this 18-year-old Olympic skier, Eileen Gu. Her father apparently is American. He's never been publicly named. Her mom's a Chinese national. She left Team USA to compete for China at the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. Loves China. She's very huge in the communist country. But interestingly enough, she's still cashing in using that capitalism with American brands. We're going to talk about this and a lot of other stuff. The real class warfare. We've got a lot of wokery, border, trucker protests. And we have Attorney General Ken Paxton, because have you seen this stuff happening with people being just let off buses? What's going on? We're going to talk about that as well. So don't miss. Friends, we're on the brink of an economic crisis, really. I mean, thanks to the economic policies and the jobless numbers, everything's been abysmal. Inflation is starting to increase. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. It's kind of crazy. Instead of following the former president's pro-business agenda that had the economy booming, now the new administration wants to tax corporations, tax small businesses, pass trillion-dollar bills that we can't pay for. You need to take proactive steps to protect your wealth and your retirement. environment by investing in gold and precious metals, and legacy precious metals can help. Washington keeps printing money and it devalues your dollar. Gold offers you a hedge against inflation. As the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options for you and your family. Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide that's full of all kinds of useful information at legacypminvestments.com. Visit legacy, letter P, letter M, investments.com.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
So I don't watch the Real Wives of anything. I don't. Despite the lie that some pervert in Hollywood that I never met made up about me in reality shows, a dude I've never met, and Bill Maher, who's a jackass, repeated it. I don't even watch reality television. I've never watched a reality show. I've never watched. I know what they are because everybody talks about them, but I'm not into it. And so I still thought this was fascinating, though. This is the Real Housewives. They have Real Housewives in every city. This is Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I take it back. The reality show I have watched is Grand Tour and Top Gear. That, and then Chef's Table. Was that still, though, considered a reality show? I don't know. So this one of the wives, Jennifer Nigan, was fired by Bravo because she had anti-vax social media posts, and they said she had racist posts. She called people who were rioting in one of the BLM riots and burning down buildings thugs, and they said that was racist. What? She's Asian, by the way. What about the racism against her? Just curious. Stick with us. We got a whole lot more in store.
What the company is trying to do is that if, in fact, it becomes the low-level dominant variant that you'd want to protect people from breakthrough infections and you might want to boost them, it makes sense to think in terms of at least having ready an Omicron-specific boost.
Go boost yourself. Get boosted, dude. Go, yeah, boost you. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here. DanaLash.com. Good to be with you this Wednesday. Feels like a Tuesday, right? What's so weird? So we've been going over a lot of stuff because it's been a little bit big of a news day. Anthony Blinken's he spoke a little bit. We'll talk about that. Was addressing the Ukraine issue. And then Justice Breyer. I just realized his name is the name of ice cream. I wonder if they're related. Now I'm going to go into a ditch and go off road. He's announced his retirement. Oh, man. I am. Guys, I'm really struggling with a perfectly accurate comment that is not politically correct. So do you remember how some on the left got mad at RBG because she would not retire so that a Democrat could appoint her? So I guess Breyer's not making that mistake. I had a different way of phrasing that, but there we have it. So he's that just per, that it's not going to change the makeup of the court. It's still a conservative court, but it's just going to be hysterical to watch some of these very vulnerable representatives and senators try to walk the line for their party, because you know they're going to nominate somebody crazy. They're going to nominate some crazy multi-pronoun cat humanoid. You know that's going to happen. It's going to be some. It's going to. What's. Oh, gosh. It's going to be like a South Park episode kind of character. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be Strong Woman. That's what it's going to be. But Randy Savage is Strong Woman. I'm going to be your next Supreme Court nominee. Me, Mrs. Strong Woman. That's what it's going to be. I'm just saying, someone who's like, there shouldn't even be law. I'm going to abolish the court. You know it. You know it's coming. So, by the way, I wonder how the restorative justice crowd deals with like SCOTUS, because they don't really like justice and they don't like law. So how does that reconcile? We'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about... Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, because there's controversy. We'll discuss that. And we got a lot. We got a lot to hit. So first off, though, this is what I'm confused about here. So we're having a... I noticed... Let me pull this up. England is getting rid of their coronavirus passports and their face mask requirements. Gone. Ireland, most of their restrictions are gone. Denmark, most of their restrictions gone. France, most of their restrictions, they're going to be removing all that too. So why are we still talking about, are you biz dad here in the United States? And then here's the other thing. So Kane, correct, help me here. Did Fauci say there's not going to be an Omicron booster? And then did he also say that there's going to be, they're planning a specific vaccine for it?
Yeah, I can play the audio from back in December. This literally is just a month ago, a little more than a month ago. This is him about the need for a variant-specific booster.
Okay. So,
our booster vaccine regimens work against Omicron. At this point, there is no need for a variant-specific booster.
That was in December.
Yeah, that was about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Okay. By the way, can I also ask a question? How are you boosting for a variant that the vaccine wasn't even made for?
It's a good question, actually.
Science. How does that work? Okay, so play the other one because this is where it's all over the place.
What the company is trying to do is that if, in fact, it becomes the low-level dominant variant that you'd want to protect people from breakthrough infections and you might want to boost them, it makes sense to think in terms of at least having ready an Omicron-specific boost.
How are you boosting for Omicron if the vaccine doesn't even work for it because it wasn't designed for it?
That was their whole argument with the monoclonal antibodies. The reason that they didn't want the monoclonal antibodies is because they weren't effective against Omicron. So, yeah, you're right. It makes no sense.
This is dumb. Why do people have questions? Why do they not want to follow the rules? Because of that. By the way, here's also this headline. This is going to just... So apparently, AHA, this actually comes out of Texas, American Heart Association. They've released new guidelines on how to perform CPR during the COVID pandemic. Yeah, you heard that right. Mm-hmm. I'm not really... If you're trying to save somebody's life, are you going to be freaking out over catching a cold? I'm just wondering. I didn't think so, but I felt like it was important to ask. Imagine that. It doesn't make sense. Nothing makes sense. Now, then you have... here's this headline. Guys, guess what's going on in Washington, D.C.? Can I get some boots and pants music? Oh, boy. It's like Stephen waited his whole entire life for that question to come up. And now he's like, I am reporting for duty. And he's going to get some boots. I need it for this headline. Desperately. Because this is the only way it's going to make the story better. Let's get some boots and pants. I wish I would have thought of this earlier. But I love how excited Steve got over it. Washington, D.C. will now require nudie bars to be masked. Strippers, be masked. Club staff, you must be masked. Mask, 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 mask. Washington, D.C. strip clubs have been warned about employees not wearing masks. The city released its data on businesses that have violated the mayor's order. And really, this is not the typical boots and pants music I'm thinking of. What is the matter? He is such a millennial. So Archibald's, really? Yeah. It's called Archibald's, the Good Guys Restaurant. Archibald's, the Good Guys Restaurant, and then Camelot, three clubs. They were all warned because the staff wasn't wearing masks. Now, apparently, these are like strip clubs and nudie bars. So, oh my gosh, I am made of jokes. So, strippers have to wear masks in D.C.
Like his pasties?
I'm like, where? Where do they have to wear them?
I assume on their face.
Will
they have tassels?
I don't know. Do the masks have tassels? I don't know. How absurd. How absurd. I don't care what you think about strip clubs or whatever. I just need you to appreciate the absurdity of this law, of this regulation. Now, if you're going to be naked, you got to wear a face mask. Still have to wear the face mask. I can't be stopped, Kane. I'm just going to go and assume that there's probably other areas that should be masked way before the facial orifices. Just going to say, you know, in the name of communicable diseases. I'm not making a universal statement, but everybody knows somebody. I'm just saying, you all know that person, right?
Yeah.
I don't know logic. I just don't know what. I don't know, man. Oh, it's not about science. Now, Pfizer board members, they've been discussing this. One of them came out and said, yeah, I think it's time to end the mask and vaccine mandates. About time. I'm still trying to get over the ridiculousness of that Washington, D.C. headline. But this is the thing, because it's not about science anymore. Well, I don't think it has been at all. Not at all. So have you seen what's been happening in Canada? Have you seen all of this stuff? Yeah, the truckers are traveling across the country. They're protesting vaccine mandates. Is it officially called the Freedom Trucker Convoy? People, I've been like watching video of people everywhere, whether it's in Ottawa, everywhere, like that are celebrating them as they drive by. That's pretty cool. Winnipeg. They said traffic came to a halt yesterday after the nationwide convoy of truckers protesting the government's vaccine mandates arrived. I mean, as far as the eye can see, trucks. Oh, my. I've never seen anything like that. They're literally drone shots. They had to do the fast paced going up the road because there's so many of them. It's the trucker convoy or trucker freedom convoy. I've seen both. Pretty amazing. But they said that 500,000 people apparently are in Ottawa now because they are there for protests. That's really cool because they're using the best way that they can to protest. This kind of just goes, and actually, they think it. Toronto Sun said that the Freedom Convoy may actually be the world's longest convoy. And they've been near the U.S.-Canada border in Emerson, Manitoba. One awesome truck. It's a Scottish dude. Of course it is. He has a Let's Go Trudeau, basically, but not like that on the side of his truck. It's awesome. Here's the thing. What they've been saying is they're not anti-vax. They're anti-mandates. They said many of us are vaccinated. They just think that Canadians should be free to choose and not face discrimination. And then they released a statement saying the Canadian Trucking Alliance is a spineless private organization that does not speak for us. I love it. They said that they would never block emergency vehicles, and they're making sure that they're checking in with each other, all that stuff. But they've had a bunch of U.S. trucks headed to Canada, too. Like, they've had tons from Florida and Texas and Ohio and Illinois. It's pretty awesome to see. But just goes to show you, it doesn't matter what field you're in. Everybody has a particular set of skills. And that's a great platform or method with which to protest. And they've been, that's awesome that they've been doing that. That's cool. We have more to come. We also have coming up Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. Got a lot of questions for him. We're also going to discuss a couple of other things here, including the situation with this California Olympic skier who is now competing for China, but she's making bank with capitalist sponsorships. What? We'll discuss that. We're going to discuss Peter Dinklage and Snow White and the Seven Dwarves so much.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
All right, so I have so many different headlines here that I, but good heavens. So I don't know if you guys have been paying attention as to what's going on with San Francisco, but so they had this thing where they were doing open air drug markets as a way to help drug addicted homeless people. I don't know if you guys were like seeing some of this, but apparently it was a new linkage center. It was aimed at connecting homeless addicts with rehab facilities, except it's not working. They said the city's woke effort to connect the homeless to rehab isn't working because people are just shooting up, passing out, scattering their needles everywhere. And it's part of Mayor London Breed's Tenderloin Emergency Intervention Plan to address a Tenderloin district. Yeah. I know, you thought of meat. That's always my first thought too, even though I know better with it. But yeah, they had journalists saying that they literally were witnessing drug deals and drug use at the site. And San Francisco never approved the creation of any kind of supervised consumption site, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Let the government watch you shoot drugs to help stop shooting up drugs. What? No, I don't think so. So Alec Baldwin and some of the Rust producers want the lawsuit over the fatal shooting because he killed a woman. They want it tossed out. Of course they do, because they don't want to have any kind of financial liability for it. They want the, this was 2 months after, the script supervisor. And we had Gloria Allred on the show to talk about this, Mimi Mitchell. They said that they wanted it thrown out because they keep trying to say that nothing about her allegations suggests that people knew, that any of us knew, the prop gun contained live ammunition. But that doesn't excuse your irresponsibility, especially for Alec Baldwin, who was the producer and run literally as the producer. Your job is to run the set. That's what your job. So they want it tossed out because they don't want to have any kind of financial liability for this. It's just, it's unbelievable, the lack of accountability. If he wasn't a celebrity, he would already be charged and he'd be in jail. Bars and gyms are bustling as Americans learn to live with coronavirus. Packed bars in San Francisco, hot yoga sounds like hell. A lot of people are trying to get back to normal and realizing that this is an endemic virus. Elton John's forced to cancel his farewell Yellow Brick Road tour because he tested positive for coronavirus. I didn't know that you could have an emotional support ferret, but a man killed his roommate's emotional support ferrets. And I really think this guy, personally, my free speech opinion is that he should get the same treatment. I'm not even a ferret person, because aren't they weasels? Which is basically a long rat, isn't it? Yeah. It's like if a rat was like a Dachshund or something, like, you know, with long. All right, we have AG Ken Paxton joining us next. Don't go anywhere.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's The Dana Show.
A question about immigration.
Sure.
Why is it that large numbers of single adult men are being released into the United States just hours after being apprehended at the southern border?
Well, I'm not sure the specifics of what you're referring to, Peter. What I can tell you in terms of what our policy is and how we're approaching the border is that we continue to be under Title 42. Migrants who cannot be expelled under Title 42 are placed into immigration proceedings. And one of those avenues could be placement in an alternative to detention program in the interior of the United States. Sometimes that means moving migrants to other parts of the United States to move to different detention facilities.
Okay, so that's Jen Psaki, who was asked about this by Peter Ducey yesterday. And of course, this comes on the heels of this insane Bill Malugin video where he's just running around everywhere down in southern Texas, where he found, listen to some of this, truckfuls of people.
Busload after busload of these migrants were dropped off at this parking garage where there is a small unmarked office that all these migrants went into. What you'll notice about these people is they are all single adults, almost all of them single adult men. There are no families, no little children there.
This that is raises just insane. It's absolutely insane. And I don't think, I'm not buying Jen Psaki's excuse here. After the way that she answered Peter Ducey's question. So for this, let's go to the Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, who's, boy, oh boy, I don't envy your job. Good to see you, General. I appreciate your time today. I wanted to get I wanted to get your response to that audio soundbite that we just played you from Jen Psaki, because she's trying to, I mean, have it both ways. They're not really working as a partner with the Republic of Texas to help enforce border security. And at the same time, she's saying, well, you know, we're doing everything. Title 42, we're doing everything we're supposed to do. Doesn't sound like it. Your response.
I know they're not doing everything. If you look at the Remain in Mexico program, they're supposed to be enforcing that. We went all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Yeah. We were successful. And I think last month and the month before, they only did about 200 or 300 Remain in Mexico out of 170,000 or 180,000.
They only did 200 to 300.
That was the number that I saw. So I don't, they're not only are they ignoring federal law, they're ignoring court orders, and they're just operating sort of on their own however they want to. So she did not answer that honestly.
No, not at all. Yeah, apparently they enrolled fewer than 300 migrants, illegal entrants in the Remain in Mexico. And I mean, you took this to court twice. And we're victorious twice on this. So why is the administration not following what the courts decided?
That's a really good question. And we have a constitutional form of government where they're supposed to respond. There's a balance obviously between the judiciary, the executive, and the Congress. And they, I guess they view themselves as the, you know, the only branch of government, because that's what they're doing. They're ignoring federal legislation from Congress. They're ignoring a court order. My guess is we're going to be back in court challenging them on not following the court order now.
And if you were, how does this, because I just remember under Obama Biden, when there were border states that were trying to enforce border security, the DOJ would come after them. There was always a lawsuit, whether it was Arizona and Jan Brewer. We saw this time and time again. Would that happen if Texas decided to say, you know what, you're not going to help. We're going to send it, but we're going to handle this. We're going to send people back ourselves. Yeah. You'd probably be fighting them in court on that issue.
Already am. You actually nailed it. We already are. The governor tried to, he's arresting people that were being transported through the state that weren't with law enforcement. And we were sued immediately. We have a stay right now, and we cannot stop these people right now because of a court order. So yeah, this is already happening.
It's crazy. This is all crazy to me. We're talking to Texas's Attorney General Ken Paxton. The other thing that really struck me about this report, and this isn't the first time that I've seen this come up in Bill Malugin's reporting, is that these are all fairly young men. All there are no families, as he said in this last report. We played a little bit of that soundbite as well after the Psaki soundbite. No families, no women. They're all pretty young men. That's odd to me. I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
You know, it's odd to me too. I don't have an explanation other than to say I think their goal is to get as many people here as fast as they can. It doesn't matter what their background. It doesn't matter if they have a terrorist background. I mean, it doesn't seem like they even check for that. They've got people coming across with COVID in large numbers. They've got people coming across that are dealing drugs. There's no limit on what kinds of people they're going to let in this country. Everybody can come in.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I wanted to get your response to this New York Times piece that ran the other day. Because there's been a lot of questions about the National Guard that was deployed to the border. There's been a lot of discussion of difficulties, because I understand how I understand the position in which folks are in, because you're trying to secure the border while you have a federal government that is doing everything possible to prevent you from actually enforcing border security. The headline that the New York Times has, and I don't instantly trust the New York Times, which is why I'm asking about it. They have this one pull quote. Boy, they really beat this pull quote to death. We're basically mall cops. Texas Guard members on border mission. They said that the deployment of thousands of National Guard members to the Texas-Mexico border, soldiers complain of difficulties and what they say is a seemingly rudderless mission. They talk about the vaccination battle, etc. I wanted to get your take on this, because like I said, I don't necessarily trust the New York Times, but what are they able to do at the border? Like, what can the Guard do and what can't they do?
So it's immensely frustrating for, I think, anybody on the border, whether it's the federal agent, Border Patrol, or Customs and Immigration. They're told by the Biden administration not to send people back, but just to process them, which takes them out of stopping, you know, the cartels from running drugs and other crime through our country. And then, of course, the National Guard and the State Guard can't, and the State Police are really there to aid the Border Patrol. But, you know, again, they're not even enforcing the laws we have, and we're not in a position where if they turn themselves into Border Patrol, they can't do anything. Now, if they go on private property, we're arresting them for trespass. and they're going through our process. But that, you know, if you want to avoid that, you just go to Border Patrol, turn yourself in, and you're in the country and you get transported.
Yeah. Is there anything more aggressive that could be done in Texas? I mean, that really pushes the envelope of, you know, tempting another suit from angry Merrick Garland, who's still disgruntled that he didn't get on the Supreme Court. I'm just wondering, like, what's the limit of aggressiveness that Texas can go to in upholding border security? Have we done anything?
Yeah, I think we have. I mean, I think the governor, he could actually call the National Guard to start doing that, but the president could just immediately order them not to. So the governor's hands are he's in a very tough situation, I think, because the federal government is not enforcing their own laws. And then supposedly under this, you know, Supreme Court decision that was made during the Obama administration called U.S. v. Arizona, when Arizona tried to enforce their own laws because the federal government was abdicating their responsibilities, they were told that they couldn't do it. So we're actually looking for another case like that that we can take that up, because it cannot be right that we have to sit here and watch drug trafficking and human trafficking and COVID spread and people dying. I mean, it doesn't make sense that we have to sit and watch this. We can't do anything about it because the federal government won't.
Right, right. We're talking with Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. I know that there was discussions about coronavirus outbreaks, and for all the talk about masking and testing and everything else, it's crazy that the policy of the federal government is just to allow everybody to come in. It's honor system. Are you tested? Oh, sure. Yeah. And then they're dispersed throughout the rest of the country. But meanwhile, our own guard members, and I was looking at some of the numbers with this. They said, I think there was 8,000 state guard members are unvaccinated and risk being permanently discharged if they don't get the jab in short order. What's the rule on that? And if they want to not, I mean, maybe they have naturally acquired immunity like I do. Where's the state on that?
So the governor told the state guard and the National Guard that they would not be forced to get it. We're defending that right now. So we're in a lawsuit with the federal government over that exact issue, because we don't think, I mean, literally, it makes no sense. You've got people crossing the border that are not vaccinated, and they're we don't even test them, and yet you're going to fire people that are trying to do their best to protect the border,
right?
Who are not vaccinated, who have made a personal health decision. That, I mean, as you know, that's just wrong.
Yeah, especially because it's all it's all predicated upon the idea that it prevents transmission, which even Rochelle Walensky said, CDC director, says that it doesn't. How many suits is the state involved in with the federal government right now? Because you mentioned this is another suit. I'm like, wait a minute, what do you have on your plate? How many lawsuits are you juggling right now?
It's incredible. In 1 year, we have accumulated 26 lawsuits against the Biden administration. 19 of those we've sued them, 7 they've sued us.
26.
Yes.
Wow. So maybe that's why they're too busy to actually pay attention to what's happening in Ukraine or anything else, because they're involved in 26 different lawsuits with Texas. We're talking to the Attorney General, Ken Paxton, who handles all of this. This isn't just a Texas issue either. Because I was looking at some of the places, looking at my notes here, some of the places where people have been sent are Georgia, Florida. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, no one's being sent to New York or Rhode Island or Connecticut. Nobody's going up there. There's no buses or planes that are taking people who've come in illegally through the border up in that area. That's a little, I mean, do you know why that would be?
Well, look, first of all, this is a national story, because I've got 12 Republican AGs meeting me on the border tomorrow, because they care about this issue. But I really do think they're targeting Republican states for two reasons. One is they want to get as many of these illegals in these states and hope that they can get them to vote by giving them amnesty. Or the other thing I think they're doing is they're trying to harm Republican states by spreading COVID, by costing us both economically and socially, imposing costs on states like Texas and Florida who have been successful. And this brings states like that into more trouble and makes it look like we've got more problems.
Yeah, it does. And I know we've talked about that before, because especially this was before everyone now started to get rid of all these European countries started getting rid of their vaccine passports and masking. And now, of course, we have the OSHA defeat with Biden's role. We're talking to Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. All right. So you're with a number of Republican AGs at the border tomorrow. Is this going to be a first time visit for some?
Yeah, I think most of them have never been, and that's part of the reason I organized it. I wanted other states to be able to see, because I think a lot of times they get involved in these other lawsuits with us, the vaccine lawsuits, but they're not as involved in the immigration one, and I want them to see what's going on. because a lot of these people are ending up in their states.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, I thought, you know, the left cared about the spread of the deadliest virus in the world. That's another, you know, another thing. One last quick question for you, talking with Ken Paxton, Texas Attorney General. I know that you're meeting a lot of mothers coming up here. It's today. A gathering of moms for addressing the State of the Union. Tell me a little bit about this, this meeting that you're having.
Yeah, so I met some of these people in Florida, and my theory is, hey, if all the moms of America get involved in defending our country, we're gonna win. So I love this.
We'll pull this car over. That's what we'll do. We will pull this car over.
That's exactly right. So Angela and I are both going out to meet with them and encourage them, and they're gonna encourage us. But look, if they're successful in getting moms involved, we're gonna win this fight for sure.
Yeah, there you go. Looks like a lot of parents are involved because of all of the CRT stuff that's been happening. We're out of time at this point. We're never short of anything to discuss, though. Attorney General Ken Paxton, thank you, sir, for your time today. Hope the visit with those other AGs goes well at the border. Thanks so much. Well,
thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A drunken Florida man apparently was arrested after shoveling spaghetti into his mouth and yelling outside of the Olive Garden. Olive Garden, when you're here, you're here. A drunken Florida man was arrested because police said he was, quote, shoveling spaghetti in his mouth, Miami Herald, and yelling profanities at customers at the Olive Garden. On Sunday. They responded to a disturbance call. They found the man sitting on a bench outside, shirtless. He was allegedly asking people for money, yelling profanity, and just eating spaghetti with his bare hands. And they tried to talk to him, and his response was, quote, I could beat your A double snakes. So that, and then he asked one of the workers if they had male or female sex organs. That also was the worker who placed the call to authorities, apparently. Oh, he was given a paper towel to wipe the spaghetti off of his face and apparently tried to eat it. So he was charged with resisting an officer without violence and released on $2,000 bond. Oh, man, somebody bonded him out. That's crazy. So what do you do if you're like a druggie and a drug dealer and you have a baby and you have fentanyl, but you also have a baby and you need places to put your fentanyl? Well, one Florida woman who was arrested last week and hit with a variety of charges, she kept a ton of fentanyl in her baby's crib. The Panama City Police announced on Thursday last week that Rebecca Turner was arrested on child abuse and drug possession charges. This is like one of the craziest stories I think I've... Wow. The authorities were tipped off about the woman after they were contacted by Florida Department of Children and Families about a child in their care who was potentially being abused. When they showed up, they got a warrant to search her home. They found a bag inside of the crib in the master bedroom that had empty formula cans that were filled with fentanyl, methamphetamine and fentanyl. Let me add that. There was tons of it. Tons. They said that with fentanyl, they found more than 34,000 lethal doses, 76 grams of meth, and a few other like prescription things and pot and all this stuff. So she's totally in jail, and they took the baby in protective services and I think found a family member. Oh my gosh. How far out of your mind are you, A, to do that, and then B, put it in your baby's crib?
I don't know.
All right, so a Florida man stole $33,000 in rare coins, cashed them in for a fraction of their value at one of the coin exchange machines.
Oh, no.
Oh, he did. In fact, he stole what they say are rare presidential coins. This is Palm Beach Sheriff's Office. They're valued at $1,000 each. Some of the coins, like altogether, it was like $350,000. So he sold some of them to a pawn shop, but the majority of them went through Coinstar. So like a $1,000 coin, he maybe got a dollar for. Oh my gosh. Dude, he's not the brightest. He was arrested with grand theft and unrelated drug charges. Third hour on the way. Stay with us.
So the president has nothing on his schedule today aside from the PDB. Can you shed any light on how he's spending his day?
Well, let's see. This morning, I think he had some policy meetings, also a PDB meeting. He later this afternoon, I think, is doing some remarks review. There are some days that we spend some time doing internal meetings and discussions with policy experts, with policy leaders, and that's what's happening today.
We do some flashcards and memory exercises, and we have our pudding cup. That's at 11 o'clock, and that was Jen Psaki talking about the president's schedule, because he doesn't have time to take questions from the press, but he was like, I'm going to just go out and have ice cream and buy Kamala a mug. Ooh, speaking, by the way, first off, welcome back to the program. It's good to be with you this Wednesday. I'm Dana Lash. Speaking of the vice president, what is she doing? Tomorrow she is going to attend the inauguration of a socialist Honduran president whose husband claimed that Israeli mercenaries tortured him with radiation, and his running mate said that Jews control all of the money in the world. Oh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you are. So, and interestingly enough, her husband, Manuel Zelaya, remember back when the Obama-Biden tried to get involved with the Honduran election and Zelaya was involved in that? They tried to back a dictator. Remember that? All kinds of fun stuff. So she's just going to go there, you know, she says that apparently her office said she's making the trip. Now, before you guys criticize, so mean. Before you guys criticize, she is taking this trip as part of her role as point person to the Northern Triangle countries as she still continues to try to address the root cause of immigration. Mm-hmm. I think OJ is going to catch the real murderer before she finds that down there. There you go. She's doing that tomorrow. Wow. Just crazy. Wow. Craziness. But hey, so that's what she's, you know, she doesn't have, maybe then she'll get some ice cream on the way back. She's got a new mug though. Whoa, yeah. The president said yesterday, he tweeted out that whenever it was above freezing, it was time for ice cream. And I'm like, well, the temperature in Kiev yesterday was 25 degrees. So I guess it's not ice cream time there. Maybe hang on. Let me look. What did Pelosi eat? What kind of ice cream did she have? Hold up. I just had a thought. Holy wow.
Is it the same?
Uh-huh. So it's like, it's basically anywhere from $9 to $13 a pint for the Jenny's ice cream. Pelosi had Jenny's ice cream. When she opened the door to one of her Sub-Zero fridges, her ice cream drawer, dude, it was full of those little Jenny pints because she was pointing them all out. It was legit full. Someone had estimated that she had like a couple hundred dollars of ice cream in there. I wish I could put Kane's reaction into a GIF. She had the froze. She had all of it in there.
I've been to several birthday parties, and even if you look at all the ice cream ever served at those several birthday parties, it's never added up to hundreds of dollars of ice cream.
Is there something with Jenny's ice cream and Democrats? Because that's what he was there at the shop having. I mean, I'm not, if you want to go out and have a cold treat, I don't care. But just make sure that you haven't sucked out loud as president, you know, beforehand. And then you have the Pelosi thing with this. While everybody was like trying to figure out how to keep their lights on, she's like, I love this $13 pint of ice cream. I just am curious if there's a thing. Why does that all appeal to these people? That particular brand of ice cream. It was just a thought. Okay, so can we talk about some wokery? I cannot believe this right now. I wrote something about this, and I was kind of going, when I first read the the interview. Everybody, Peter Dinklage, he was in, everybody knows him most as Tyrion Lannister from Game of Thrones, right? And I read this interview with him first, and I was going to have it as a headline one of the days this week, but I ended up not because we were just so stacked with stuff. And he was on Mark Maron's podcast, and he Mark is an actor and he scriptwriter and all this stuff. He was in Glow, which was an interesting series that literally was destroyed by wokery, like the cast. It was about stereotypes of women playing stereotypes in the 70s and early 80s, and they apparently, some of the cast members didn't get that concept, and they were like, why is it so stereotypical? Because you're a moron and you didn't realize that's what you were signing up for. Anyway, so Peter Dinklage was on talking to Mark Maron on his podcast, right? And he was asked about, it just came up, this Snow White and the Seven Dwarves live action remake, because Disney wants to ruin everything. And so this is what, we can't play, Dinklage drops F-bombs. He heavily salts his speech with F-bombs. So what he said was this, quote, literally no offense to anyone, but I was a little taken aback when they were very proud to cast a Latina actress as Snow White. You're still telling the story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Take a step back and look at what you're doing there. It makes no sense to me. You're progressive in one way, and you're still making that burp backward story about seven dwarfs living in a cave together. What are you doing, man? End quote. So when I read this, because I don't, somebody's going to get mad no matter what I say. I don't look for offense in everything. And I always, especially when it's an actor that has never been political and seems to project an air of common sense and has said some kind of common sense things in the past. I read this quote and I was like, okay, yeah, I mean, that's, he's, because they cast the, and I made, we mentioned this actually in headlines yesterday. So I did get it. They cast Rachel Zegler, the girl who played in, she was cast in the live action of West Side Story and the Spielberg's live action remake. And she was cast as Snow White. And I understand what he's saying because, you know, he's talking about, you know, they were very proud to, like, we cast the Latina actress as Snow White. They're so woke, but there's a line, they draw a line where their wokeism is, where that virtue signaling or their way of signaling wokeism, they have a line that they apparently draw, or they only go so far. You know, why not go all the way? Why not, you know, don't do it half-assed, you know, just why not go all the way? To me, that's what he was saying. He was actually remarking on the woke casting of Snow White. And then everybody was going at Dinklage yesterday because Disney, I thought this was very clever of Disney to do. Now, my opinion is that Disney spun this to make themselves look like the victims in a way, and that they were being criticized. Because now all the discussion is whether or not Dinklage was being woke, which I don't think he was. I can't believe we're talking about this. Please, sweet meteor of death, hit this planet. They spun this, and so now they said that they, I, this is an actual, this is the stupidest thing I've ever read. Quote, consulting with members of the dwarfism community, and they said that they're going to work to improve the story. Quote, to avoid reinforcing stereotypes from the original animated film, we are taking a different approach with these seven characters and have been consulting with members of the dwarfism community. We look forward to sharing more as the film heads into production after a lengthy development period. End quote. Now, some people said, I just don't think that you understood that, Dana. I think that he was actually trying to slam it. This is what I think. I think Dinklage was slamming the woke casting, not because he disagreed with the casting, but because he disagreed with Disney's motivations and fake virtue signaling, while at the same time as saying, by the way, if you're going to criticize me, then you better say something about the seven dwarves. Like, he gave himself insurance. That's how I read this. I mean, what do you think, Kane? Because everyone else is like, no, Dinklage is just woke. You missed it, Dana. I don't think I did.
No, I think it's pointing out the hypocrisy. in all of it. Like they've literally, we've seen it happen over the past couple of years. If they're not bending over backwards for China, they're bending over backwards for wokery.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, he's like really confused. You're still going to put dwarves in the seven dwarves thing when you've been nothing but woke the past couple of years?
Yeah.
Like, make it make sense to me.
Yeah, exactly. That's, and he's right. He's not actually, he's not saying that he's offended because there are dwarves in Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. He's actually saying, yeah, what you just said, like, make this make sense. You'll do this, but not this. Like, where's your consistency with your wokeism? That's what he's saying. He's not saying that he's offended. So, oh my gosh, I had people like, I think that's wrong. Nobody agrees with me, except you, Kane. Everyone else thinks that he should, hey, they hate him now, and he was being woke. That's what people think. I don't think that, though. I mean, I don't have any interest at all in defending anybody who practices wokery. In fact, I enjoy watching them crash and burn and just drown in the lava of their own mistake. I enjoy watching that. I'm not going to lie to you. But I don't think he said that. That's not, I don't think that he meant that. And I think that we got to like pump the brakes a little bit, you know? Not everybody's, to me, I thought he was being very clever. He went after their wokery, but then at the same time was like, I'm part of that community, so you can't get me. You can't come at me.
Do you see him now through the lens of the Game of Thrones, like his character on the Game of Thrones? Because kind of I do.
I kind of do, but I think that he's just a good actor and he's able to make every character his own.
Right.
I mean, he's a great actor. He has such a presence on the screen. He is a phenomenal actor.
There's no doubt about it. I just, after seeing Game of Thrones, now when I see these type of things, when he's out in the world putting these little messages out, I'm thinking of his character doing this.
Tyrion?
As opposed to him, Tyrion, because already, I really don't know him.
Tyrion already railed against cancel culture. He said when you cut out a man's tongue, you're just showing everyone you're scared of what he might say.
And I think that he aligns with some of those characteristics in that character.
I think there's a certain truth to that. But I also think that he's being common sense. I mean, he's a little, I don't know, what do you say? Like, they said dwarfism community. Do you say little person or dwarf? I don't know. Little person. I'm going with LP, okay? If you send me hate mail, I'm going to print it out and run it out with my old mini Segway. I will run over it back and forth and I'll put it on Instagram, so don't. That's literally what I got out of this. That he was, Steve, what do you think? Do you think that he was saying that he was offended over the dwarves, or was he saying, you know, if you're going to go woke, why not go all the way? I mean, it's stupid.
I mean, coming from his point of view, like, he does suffer from he was born with dwarfism is the official medical name of the, you know, his thing. So he has every right to have an opinion on casting. We talked about the old Bill Burr sketch when he talked about paraplegism, It's the same deal. It's like, he's acting. So it's like, where do you draw the line? Pick one or the other. It's like, you can't just try to straddle both sides of the issue.
Yeah, I got the takeaway that he was just offended at Disney's virtue signaling. And by the way, like him having dwarfism, he is so good of an actor. Doesn't know, he's better than most of the, he steals this almost every scene that he's in because he's such a good actor. I don't know what else to say. I just think people need to pump their brakes on it, because I don't think that's what he was saying. He was not being woke. He was not, I don't believe that he was saying that he wanted Disney canceled because they were making Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. I think he was saying that, you know, if you think it's backwards to not try to diversify Snow White, then why are you still, then how is this not backwards? That's what he was saying. And also, please note that most of the people who are commenting on this didn't even listen to Mark's podcast. I listened to that episode. I listened to his discussion, and he did not have that tone at all. Like, he was laughing about it. Right. And that was not the answer of somebody who was being woke. Everybody just read the quotes, and then they didn't even print his full quote. They only printed his stuff about the seven dwarves, and everybody's going off about it. We rail about media malpractice, but we have so many people on the right that buy into this crap, though. I mean, that's, you can't rail against it if you believe the first headline you see. Stop. All right, we got more to come. Oh, and by the way, if he does come out and say that I am offended by the dwarves, then fine. I don't have a dog in this fight. I'll gladly update the piece, but pump the brakes, man. Come on.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So this is sad. Peter Robbins, the voice of Charlie Brown, checked himself into a mental health hospital after Christmas, discharged himself days before he committed suicide. That's awful. He had bipolar disorder. He was spent 5 years in prison for making criminal threats against multiple people, but he was the voice of Charlie Brown. That's so sad. And gosh dang. Also, mysterious ice formations showed up in Chicago this week. Ice pancakes. They are on the surface of Lake Michigan. Ice pancakes? Yeah, that sounds about right. We have a lot more in store. A little short this time. A lot more in store. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show coming up.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern time.
You touched on something else. So are we still relying on the Taliban?
This isn't about relying on the Taliban. This is about working with these aid groups and helping identify people that need to get out of Afghanistan and getting them out.
So the and Taliban are not helping us do that.
They are still getting out of Afghanistan. These people are still getting out. And look, we know we have work to do. And here at the Department of Defense, we know we have a moral obligation to continue to help those people.
But I didn't hear an answer to the question. Are we still working with
the
Taliban?
This isn't about relying or working with the Taliban.
That's not what she asked. She didn't ask whether or not anything relied on working with the Taliban. She simply asked if we were working with the Taliban. Welcome back to the program. I'm Dana Lash. I like that Harris Faulkner would not let John Kirby move on that because Kirby was trying to move the goalposts. Well, it's irrelevant to the mission whether or not we're working with them. But are you working with them? Because that, what you just said, is irrelevant to the question. Are you working with them? Yes or no? Well, that's irrelevant to the mission. So you are. Because if you weren't, you could just be like, no. So you are. I wrote about this with the newsletter the other day. Yes, was it this morning that I sent this out or the night before? Maybe. No, this was yesterday. Because Ukrainian leaders are like, okay, stay calm. There's not a Russian invasion that is imminent. Now, the United States pulled ambassadors and other staff out of Kiev, which is ridiculous. Kiev is 5 to 6 hours away from the border, and there's not a buildup on the entire border at a certain point at the border. If there was a concern about a buildup right outside Kiev, that would be very significant because the invasion would have already happened, and that's, you know, They would have moved 5 to 6 hours, you know, hundreds of miles in towards Kiev. But even Ukraine's like, look, stop. I understand the optics of wanting to look at us. We're getting everybody out right away. But do you realize what message that sends? So wait, follow me here. The administration is still smarting from the fiery criticism that they deserved from the right and the left after the massive botching of leaving Afghanistan and leaving so many Americans behind. And as John Kirby was trying not to answer, still having to have to rely on a terrorist group, still officially designated as a terrorist group, to get Americans out of Afghanistan because it was so horribly botched. They're still smarting from that. So they don't want to have any kind of another repeat of that. They don't want anything even remotely close to it. So before anything happens, they're just going to pull their people out of Kiev. We don't even have, they pulled the deputy, what was it, the deputy something out of Kiev, because we don't have an ambassador in Ukraine. So they pulled out the deputy staff. We were already having problems because we didn't have anyone on the ground in Kiev actually talking with Ukraine's government. Because it would be the ambassador that would actually organize withdrawal. It would be the ambassador that would be relaying information between Washington and Ukrainian government instead of Ukraine's leaders going on Twitter, because that's apparently hashtag diplomacy is how Blinken and Kirby and everybody else want to handle it. That's why you had the criticisms. You had one Ukrainian leader, was it the foreign minister? I can't remember, who came out and said, you know, it's safer here in Kiev than it is in many American cities. I mean, you should not have that kind of back and forth on social media. But that's what happens when you don't have an ambassador in Kiev and you don't have any way of on the ground diplomacy with everything's done from Washington. That's why it's a disaster. So they did not, they don't want to get anywhere near having another bungling of removing people from another embassy or another consulate. So, because Democrats are what? Two for two now, right? I mean, you got the screw up in Benghazi at that consulate, and then you have this horrible thing with the embassy and all of that in Kabul. So they pull everybody out. Now, there's, like I said, there's a difference between literally leaving Americans behind to die in Afghanistan because you ate ice cream instead of listening to your general's advice, observing years of warnings about the Taliban. The Russia buildup is on one part of the border, and none of the intel right now is pointing to them moving to Kiev. Now, here's the other part of the, here's the other message that this sends. If Biden's pulling everything out now, is he not just sort of sending a message that, oh, well, we believe the invasion's imminent and we don't want our people caught. It's going to be awful. We're just going to get out now. Right? Does that not project that message? What a nut. What a nut. I mean, just, and he's horrible with optics. So then he goes, and all this is happening. He goes and has ice cream at Jenny's Takeout. Man. Now, fun fact. I wonder if anybody asks any questions about this. Now we have Jen Psaki. Keep an eye on this for me too, Steve, because Breyer's going to be resigning. Do you remember the questions that Peter Ducey in the SOB thing that was asked? So Brian Stelter with CNN says that Biden was provoked, that the question about inflation in midterms was a provocation. I was murdered. You don't provoke people by asking questions. I mean, that's a question. That's not a provocation.
Literally a pressure on the economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now we're literally having a presser about SCOTUS, and I just can't wait to see what's going to happen as it relates to this whole situation with the Breyer resignation. This is way too soon before midterms, though, because we're not going to be doing anything until fall. It sounds like Chuck Schumer, everybody wants to do this immediately. Because there's two ways of thinking about this. If they drag this out to midterms, they have such high unfavorability, Democrats and this administration. Is that even going to be enough? Is they could drag it out because that might be the only thing that could help them improve their numbers a little bit. But I don't get the sense that that's what they want to do. It also makes sense. That's why Pelosi is staying on and running again. And if you want to hear our discussion about why the founders and I both don't support term limits, I'll point you to the Federalist Papers where they write about it in 51, 53, 55, 70, 73, 70, or 72. I'll listen to the first hour. I'll also send this out too, by the way, in an email. This is just the timing's interesting to me because there's always going to be a strategy with Democrats. He's going to retire. So, and if he does not, I think it's so certain that they're going to get shellacked that I don't think that they can wait it out. And you're looking at, I mean, think about having a conservative majority in the House and Senate and a lame duck president. I think that it might be viewed as this is more favorable to Democrats than the RBG way. Now, I had one friend, I'm in an email discussion, that said that it was a little bit different of a way to go about it. Usually, they announce at the end of their term in June that they would be leaving. That's usually what retiring justices do. And he's announcing now that he's leaving at the end of the term. So he's not going to be leaving until June. It's kind of weird. It sounds like to me there was some organization going on and he wanted to give Democrats as much time as possible to get the confirmation process going immediately. That's kind of what I'm taking away from it. Because there's a very, I mean, good heavens, there's so many things that can happen. If you have Mitch McConnell as the Senate majority leader, there will not be a liberal, a progressive confirmed in this seat. That is for sure. So what do? I'm made of questions on this. I mean, and here's the other thing. Can they actually, are they even able to actually go already and have a confirmation hearing, even though he still is going to stay on the bench for 5 months? Because it's 5 months until the end of his term. He's announced that he's not leaving until the end of his term. That's in June. I mean, I don't know of anything in the law that would stop them from doing that, going through, starting the process. Senate advises and consent, but they don't owe any kind of approval.
It would have to start with Biden deciding who he's pushing forward.
Yes.
And I think that would be step one. And then you're right. I think there is, it's kind of open as to when that process can actually begin, especially if the justice has announced he's retiring.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just, there's so much here. There's so much here. I was thinking about this during break because I just, the timing is weird to me for this to be a huge boon for Democrats. But if he announces that he's leaving now, then if they are handed this, if Republicans somehow get a majority, I don't know. I just, there's good in heavens. And by the way, everybody apparently is expecting that Breyer's appointment is going to be a black woman. So I've seen Cori Bush tweet. I've seen three, pull this up. I've seen three different congressional members tweet. I see three different congressional members tweet this, and there's a couple senators already that have tweeted this. Oh, did she? So there. So wait, is she searching for a? Are they looking for a like a black justice and nothing else? Or if they're able to have a black justice, that's great. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd put in Slack a couple parts of the thing she just said, but his announcement got leaked out, and apparently he wasn't very happy that it got leaked out. So now they're...
Oh, I don't buy any of that.
Well, that's what Shannon Bream had reported, and now we're...
Okay, well, Shannon says it, then I believe it,
yeah.
Because... Interesting. Okay, yeah. So Shannon Bream says, multiple sources tell me Breyer was not planning to announce his retirement today. They describe him with upset as how this has played out. Ooh. Ooh.
Still waiting on any official notice.
Yeah, we await an official notice from his office. So they don't have an official notice yet, but someone leaked it out because this sounds like Democrat. This is a Democrat gamesmanship here. They're trying to get this going. Dude, they are so terrified. If I don't know if anything else more than this signals that they are terrified of the shellacking that's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Now, my concern is that Republicans are going to think that this is fait accompli and all done, and we're going to have low turnout for midterms. If you know someone who doesn't vote, you should slap them. I think that assault and battery should be suspended for people who don't vote and then always are the ones who complain about it. Like your friends should be able to get a mulligan, you know? Smack them. This sounds like it's politically pressured retirement.
Yeah.
They're trying to pressure him into this. So what? Do you think that, well, I know what I would do if I was Stephen Breyer. I'd give them all the finger and be like, now I'm going to stay on. I'm going to RBG it.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome. Listen, follow, subscribe. The Dana Show.
Preparations is the White House engaged in broadly in the case of a Supreme Court vacancy?
I'm just not going to detail any of that from here.
Not about, unrelated to this, you can't detail what, like, doesn't every White House like to get ahead of this in case of a sudden passing in the case of Ruth Bader Ginsburg? None of that you can share?
I'm not going to detail internal planning from here, no.
Okay, then let me
ask. Man, so that was just a few minutes ago with the SCOTUS stuff. So there was the leak that that came today that Justice Breyer is going to retire at the end of his term. That's coming out. And welcome back to the show, Dana Lash here. That makes sense because I had a friend who was saying in our email discussions with a group of people that it's odd that, first off, they were like, was this an official announcement from his office? Because it's weird that retiring justices would announce this now as opposed to the actual end of their term, which is in June. It's 5 months away. So apparently this was leaked. And Shannon Bream, who has impeccable sources, she worked in Supreme Court. She clerked there for years. There's nobody stronger on this than her. She says that her sources are saying that Breyer was not planning to announce his retirement, at least not today. They describe him as upset with how this has played out. They still await any official notice from his office and or the Supreme Court's Public Information Office. So they tried to politically pressure him into retirement. They knifed him. Democrats are trying to pressure him into retirement. And what he should do is tell them all to go pound sand and say that he's going to stay in that seat RBG style. That's what he should do. Now, everyone keeps going, well, they want to pick a black Supreme Court justice. That's what all these lawmakers have been saying. You're wait until Merrick Garland's going to now try to figure out how to do blackface and how to get a wig so he can go and run and get the seat now. Just watch and wait. All right, today's stupidity, Kane.
I guess it would have to be Psaki. This one is she's asking, she's being asked about Biden's his plans for the day, and she can't really answer what he's doing. She kind of makes it up on the fly.
Listen. So the president has nothing on his schedule today aside from the PDB. Can you shed any light on how he's spending his day?
Well, let's see. This morning, I think he had some policy meetings, also a PDB meeting.
PDB.
Later this afternoon, I think, is doing some remarks review.
Okay. All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Psaki.
There you go. I'll be on Fox and Friends tomorrow morning in the 7 a.m. Central hour. Make sure you tune in. Talking about some two-way stuff. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.